Is a good day. Today is the day we were reminded that Jesus did not stay dead. Right? Friday was there and it was a bad day. But Friday was followed by Sunday, and Sunday was a great day. So the old church would say when they gathered together that they would say, Christ is risen, and the response would be,
He is risen indeed.
All right, we're gonna be quiet on the platform. We'll let you guys say it loud enough for your cars and see if it gets to us. Christ is risen. I'm doing the wrong song. There we go. When the ladies asked that I change the order, that means I messed up. One, two, one.
Close.
listen to the story.
Amen. Good morning, church. You can honk. Awesome, awesome. It's good to be with you today in some kind of fashion. You know, a lot of churches are empty today, but guess what? So is the tomb. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We're excited that you're here today. Thank you for coming out. I feel like I'm in the movie Cars right now. But it's great to see everybody just meet some way, somehow. We appreciate you coming. I want to just say, hey, thanks for your prayers. I had a little procedure that I had done with my heart. So my heart's great. I love the Lord. And everything is in its right place. So I appreciate your prayers. Hey, I want you to shake hands with one another.
Virtually.
Through your car. So give each other a big honk in Jesus' name this morning.
Oh, my goodness. All right. This is different. Now we're going to do great things because that's the song we're on. All right, here we go. One.
Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great.
You know, with the sun at the back, it's right on the screen. It's kind of hard to see up here. How are your eyes doing out there? Good, doing all right? Good cloud cover? Good. Alone in my sorrow, and dead in my sin, lost without hope, and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Thanks for my chain, I'm a prisoner. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But when Jesus arose with our freedom in hand, it's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes.
You get look good. Wow, woo. Well, y'all look good today, what I can see of you. And we are so thrilled that you're here with us this morning. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day. And we've got a lot to be excited about There was a pastor that did what a lot of pastors will do from time to time in church. They had all the kids come up to the platform so they could talk about whatever the topic of the day was. And so the pastor invited the kids up, and they got up there, and they're enthusiastic as always, and squirmy and roll around. And so he asked a question of them. He goes, "I got a question for you. It's an Easter question. What were the first words of Jesus when he came out of the tomb?" There was a little girl, raised her hand. "Ooh, ooh, 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 ooh." So he called on her, and she said, "That's easy. I know the answer." He goes, "Okay, what were the first words of Jesus when he came out of the tomb?" And she went, "Ta-da!" But you know, in the great theology of life, that's not too bad. This is Resurrection Sunday. It is a day that changes everything. And as you look around this morning, things are a little bit different here, but we didn't stop worshiping. And so we are thrilled that you're here this morning. It is a celebration. Thanks for being patient as we kind of get things started here and we work out a few bugs and as we're kind of getting folks in the back there. And I'm sorry if your sight line is not as good as you want. We're doing the best we could here. I can only get so tall. But today is about remembering what Jesus did for us. And he loved you like you were the only person in the world to love. And that changes everything. And we're forever different. And so if you would, bow your heads and hearts right there in your cars, if you would. And let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. And that is the understatement of the year. And it's only surpassed by the statement that you love us. But because of that love, we can come to this place today. And even though it's a little bit different, we can celebrate. And so, Lord, that's what we ask would happen right now. We've already been lifting our voice in song. You've already been hearing the cry of our heart this morning. Allow us to continue to do that. And then give us a time where we can look at your word and be reminded of how real and powerful that love is. In your precious name, amen.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Who'd come to the Father are restored, and
go ahead and take your Bibles, if you have them with you in your car, and go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24, we're going to look at verses 36 through 49 over the next couple of minutes as we take a few moments on this Easter and remember what it is that we're here for, and more importantly, how Easter changes everything. That's the title of the Bible study, by the way. If you have the Church of 434 app, the outline is there. You can go ahead and take a look at that, too, if that's helpful to you. This changes everything. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. And if you have your Bible with you or an app open, keep it there. We're going to kind of break down the verses as we go and move through. As you might imagine, I talked to my publisher this past week, and he let me know that in America right now, book sales are through the roof. People are reading books in a way that they haven't for a while. So while some industries suffer, it's not impacting the book industry at all. As a matter of fact, the impact it's having is a real positive one. You might be surprised to know that there are more than 100 books currently in print with the title that includes the phrase, that changed the world. Okay, that phrase, that changed the world. You also won't be surprised to know that there is a book that is now in the queue to be released called COVID-19. The virus that changed the world. It's coming, but the reason that they don't have a release date on it yet is they don't have an ending yet. And so the book is going through the process, and everything is kind of tracked to the point that we are in history right now. But that book has already been signed, and that title has been taken, and there's a contract pending. And so by this time next year, there will be a book out by that title. There are some other titles that were interesting if you go back and look at the list. One was this, Gunpowder, the History of the Explosive that Changed the World. Cod, a biography of the fish that changed the world. I wasn't aware that cod was that big a deal, but I guess it could be. Model T Ford, the car that changed the world. The Twist, the story of the song and dance that changed the world. My personal favorite, Mauve, how one man invented a color that changed the world. But the one that is currently on the shelves once again and still can be picked up is simply this, The Weekend That Changed the World, The Mystery of Jerusalem's Empty Tomb. Despite all the efforts that people make, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. And we used the word earlier, but a great way of describing it is ta-da. Man. What an amazing event. As a matter of fact, if you got somebody in the car with you right now, just turn to them and just go, ta-da, I'll wait. I couldn't hear you, but I'll assume you did it. Let me remind you that we're here, we celebrate Easter. That one event changes everything. It changes all of human history. And the first thing it changes is this. It is a change in security. It's a change in security. And what I mean by that is that he gives to you his peace. Look, if you would, at verse 36 and 37. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. See, they know that Jesus has come back from the dead. They know that the tomb is empty. But at this point, they're still trying to put the pieces together of all that happened. So the disciples were living in the resurrection real time. And Jesus makes his appearance with them. And as he walks in the room, they're startled. And they're frightened. And he says, peace be with them. You can't turn on the news without hearing about the word corona. That word has its origins in Latin. And the reason that it's called the coronavirus is because when it's viewed under a microscope, it looks like a crown of a thorny crown, if you will, a crown of thorns. You realize that when we get to Easter, one of the things that happened is Jesus wore a crown for us of crowny thorns, went through the death and suffering on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and came back from that. The thorny crown that impacts you most is not the coronavirus of this day. The crown that counts is the one that Jesus wore. And that is the crown that put in motion the events that ultimately would change history. And remember what he says when he shows up. His best friends are gathered, they're afraid, and he says to them, peace be to you. That's just not an ordinary way of saying hello. Because the terrified disciples in that moment were confused. They were fearful. There were rumors that were running rampant about what was going to happen next. They were fearful of who might come after them next. Their future was very, very unsteady and unsure. In some ways, you can identify with that. That's been what our month has been like. Everything's kind of turned upside down. Fear creeps in from the edges. What was certain yesterday is not so certain today. We're feeling a little unsteady, a little unsure. And suddenly, for the disciples, they saw the form of Jesus, and he offered to them the greatest greeting they could ever hear. Peace is yours. He offers you the same greeting today. Peace be to you. It's not the kind of peace that the world offers. It's not the kind of peace that equates to the absence of problems. But it is the freedom to deal with the stress, strain, and struggles of life, knowing that you're not alone, and knowing that you can be certain about who holds the future. That's the kind of peace that he offered. And then he goes on to say, why are you troubled? Why are doubts rising in your heart? His sturdy, steady voice shows up in that room where they're afraid and terrified, and he says, look, I want to give you peace, and you don't have to worry about things. Which is the second thing that I want you to see in the passage. There's also a change in social distance. There's a change in social distance. Verses 37 through 43. They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise up in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It's I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I don't know if the fish that they gave him was cod. I don't know if that's where the book title comes from. But in that moment, he stepped up, and Jesus became the social distance breaker. When they were afraid and trying to keep their distance from everybody else, Jesus shows up and says, don't be afraid. Come closer to me. I want you to see me. I want you to touch my hands. I want you to look at my feet. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here. And my presence is now with you. Recently, there was an experiment that was done. And it was done to hack Google Maps. And I don't know if you're like I am, but man, Google Maps gets me where I need to go. And if I need directions, I will you know, call up Google Maps, and hopefully it works and it reads correctly, even though this isn't really Shore Drive like it says on Google Maps. But for the most part, it gets things right. This guy decided he was going to hack Google Maps. And so what he did is he got 100 of his friends to give him their cell phones. He put those cell phones in a wagon, just one of those flexible flyer wagons that you can pull along. And he went out into a country area down a deserted road, and he pulled that wagon down the road with those 100 phones that were on. Then he called up Google Maps on his phone to discover that, according to Google Maps, there was now a traffic jam on the deserted country road that he was standing on because he had all those phones in the wagon. He made the point, he said, we're so dependent on technology, we never think that technology will fail us. And in the midst of all the things that we've been doing and all the things that we've been trying over the past few months to stay connected to you, from time to time it misfires. From time to time it will glitch. And from time to time it just doesn't work like we want it to. Now, Google was great to respond. They said, you know, this is just a hack that we didn't anticipate. But we will do our best to solve the problem of people taking 100 phones out in a wagon as soon as possible. And so Google jumped right on it. But at the end of the day, one of the things that happened is we become so dependent on other things that sometimes we forget that they just don't hold up. Jesus steps in and says, look, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I'll be with you. My presence is with you. I will break the rules of social distancing, and I will get close to you, and I will stay close to you, and I will be where you are, always. And so when everything starts unfolding around you, and everything seems to crumble, and the circumstances start creeping into your life and start pushing back on you, you can rest assured that he is there. He is really there, and he's with us today, and that should change the way that we face each day and each moment. He's close, and he stays with us. The third thing that I want you to see in the passage is also, though, that there's a change that comes in the solution. A change in the solution. In other words, he gives you promises to live by. Verses 44 and 45. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then it says something interesting. He opened their minds so they could understand Scripture. You see, they had to get over the fear factor for a moment. They had to get over that shock value, the fact that Jesus was there. And then they were willing to open their minds because he helped them see it in a way they never had before. He then goes on to explain his death, his resurrection, and why it came to be. One of my favorite Easter illustrations is something that happened in April of 2002. Richard Schweinberg used a broadly accepted probability theory to defend the truth and reality of the resurrection. At a high-profile gathering at Yale University, in a philosophy conference, he explained that someone who had been dead 36 hours, for them to come to life again, according to the laws of nature, is extremely improbable. But if there is a God of the traditional kind, natural laws only operate or are in place because he keeps them there. And God and God alone can change the rules. So he used what is known as Bayes' theorem and assigned values to things like the probability that God is indeed real, Jesus and the things that he did over the course of his lifetime, the miracles that he did and the testimony of those miracles, and then he added to the mix the testimony of those who witnessed Jesus after his death. He put all the numbers into the Bayes' theorem probability formula. And to an astounded group of Yale conference attenders, the number came back. There was a 97% probability that the resurrection happened. And so speaking into a world of sometimes doubt and disbelief, it does begin to fit and it does make sense. On a very practical sense, for you and I, the promises of the Bible are true. You're sitting here today because you believe and somehow trust in those promises. He hasn't let you down. He's not going to let you down. He's going to stay with you no matter what. And the last thing I want you to see is there's also a change in the script. Jesus has changed the script of your life. He has hopefully stepped in and given you a purpose. He has hopefully stepped in and given you a reason to move forward each and every day. In verse 46 and 49, it says this. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." There's a responsibility that you and I have living in this world that we live in today. Because we live in the aftermath of the reality of the resurrection. No matter what's going on in culture around us, no matter what's happening in the world around us, you have a different set of marching orders. And you have a call in your life to not only live for Christ, but to touch and change the world around you with the love of Christ. He gives you his peace, his presence, his promise, and his purpose. And it is yours for the taking if you want it. It was an Easter Sunday morning at the East Texas Central Baptist Church. It's a whopper of a name. East Texas is a big place. It was going to begin with what was going to be a traditional choir special. It was going to be dramatic. It was going to be triumphant. And this little church had decided to do something really special. They added a bit of choreography to it. Now, again, if you're like I am with a Baptist background, choreography is the kiss of death because Baptists have no rhythm. But these folks decided they were going to do something spectacular that day, and they were actually going to march their adult choir into the room singing "Up From the Gravy Arose." Great classic Easter song. And so they did. They lined up in the back, and the choir dressed smartly in their robes. None of them fit very well, but they're wearing their robes. They've put those robes on over their Easter Sunday finest, and they had begun to make their way, and they began marching in. And as they marched in, they were in perfect step coming down that center aisle. And the lady that was leading the charge did not miss a beat, but she forgot that she was wearing her Easter finest, and that included some fancy high heels, thin high heels. And as she marched down that center aisle, her foot sunk into the hot air register, the grating of it, that was in the middle of that row. Not missing a beat, realizing what happened, but not wanting to throw off the whole choir that was lined up behind her and just belting it out from the bottom of their hearts. She just stepped right out of her shoe and kept going. Left the shoe right there. So as the choir marched in, the ladies that looked, they saw it, they just kind of sidestepped and kept going. And then the men were beginning to wake their way in. And the first guy coming down the aisle was wanting to be helpful. He decided that he could see the shoe. He realized instantly what happened. He's a fixer, a problem solver. He's a guy. And so without missing a beat, as he was belting out the song, he reached down, picked up the shoe so he could take it back to the lady and have it out of the way. As he picked up the shoe, the entire grate lifted off of the ground, attached to the shoe. So now he's sitting there with a shoe in his hand, holding a grate, but he's singing. And just like the lady before him, did not miss a beat and kept right on singing. The guy behind him looked down, saw there was a hole in the ground, stepped on around it. But the one guy that didn't look down was the last guy in line. And so as he was singing and just from the bottom of his heart moving down, he actually didn't just see the hole. He stepped where the hole was, fell into the hole, disappearing below the floor of the church. As they got to the massive ending to the song, that big ending, and if you've ever heard this hymn, you know what it is. It's Hallelujah, Christ Arose. And man, you hold that out if you're a choir director. I mean, you make them sweat back there, right? Just, it's big. It builds. They're going, Arose! That only happens on Easter Sunday morning. I want you to know that. And as thank you. And I'll be here all week. And as they got to the end of the song, the choir had sung hard. They were sweating. I mean, they had given it all they had. Their hearts were pumping. And as soon as the song ended, a voice from below the floor said, "I hope all y'all are out of the way because I'm coming up now." To which a little girl sitting in the aisle looked toward the hole and said, "Come on, Jesus, we'll stay out of the way." And here's what I want to advise you to do on this Easter Sunday morning. Stay out of his way. Don't work against him. Let him be in your life who he came to be. Let him do what he came to do. Let him change you from the inside out. You get to live life free of worrying about the sin and the guilt. He's paid the price for that. You have to make a decision to believe, trust, and follow him. That's why he did it. That's why Easter happened. That's why you're here today. I was thinking this week, knowing that we would be doing this and knowing that you guys would all be here and not knowing, you know, who would come, who wouldn't be here, how many cars we would have. And you guys have packed it in very well, and it's cool to see you guys. And all these things were happening up here. You need to know that there's a lot of stuff happened to make this happen. And there's been a lot of folks logging a lot of hours and a lot of time. And even last night, they came down to rehearse, set it up, had to tear it all down, pull it back in this morning. Everybody was here before daylight this morning, pulling it back out, getting it set up again. And so I'm so very appreciative of our incredible team that has made this happen. And they did good. Yeah, you can do that. And so we had talked from the beginning, and of course, I don't know if you'll get to see it or not. We tried to get a picture of it for you, but what we've done at the front here is we've created a cross for you. With my truck here bringing up the bottom of it, but we have the two wings on the side, and we have the top. And very much on purpose, we wanted to create that. If that image shows up, we will actually share it with you at some point. Because the cross becomes a launching point that sets up all the events that would take place after that. The hope that was discovered when Jesus came back from the dead, just like he promised. The empty hollowness of that tomb that replaces the empty hollowness of our life because he moves in and steps into where you are. And I realized this morning that I was going to be standing in the back of a truck this morning looking out over whoever was here. You know, you go back and you think of all the things that you've done and all the places that you've been and all the experiences you had. I can say that there have been two times I have actually preached and taught from the back of a truck. This is number two. Number one happened over 30 years ago when I was in Lake Worth, Florida. I was a student minister at First Baptist Church of Lake Worth. That church no longer exists, but it's not because I was a student minister. But that church was a place where very connected in that West Palm Beach community, very much a part of what was going on there. One of my student workers was a man by the name of Victor Lee, sports writer, frequent contributor to Sports Time magazine, one of their editors. Since that time, he's actually gone to seminary. He is an associate pastor up in Tennessee. But Victor was a writer for the Palm Beach Post. And, you know, having a friend who's a sports writer for the Palm Beach Post has a lot of perks. I got to go to Dolphin games frequently. I got to go when in those days they knew how to play football there. But also, I discovered that having a friend as a sports writer also had a perk that most wouldn't consider a perk. It got you access to places that at times you weren't supposed to be or you weren't allowed to go. On one particular night, at 1 a.m., phone rings, and back in those days, it wasn't a cell phone. It was one that hung on the wall. So you stumbled to the phone to get to the phone to find out what's going on, and I picked up the phone, and his voice came ringing through. He had a deep bass voice, and he said, "There's Victor." I'm like, "You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, man. What's wrong?" He goes, "Are you dressed?" "I'm sleeping." He said, "Can you meet me?" I'm like, "Right now?" He said, "Right now." I said, "Where are you at?" He was at the hospital there in West Palm Beach, and he said, "I'll fill you in when you get here." I said, "Okay, this is important." He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay." I said, "You all right?" He said, "Yeah." So I came down there. What had transpired in the events that had taken place long before I got there that evening, the all-star outfielder for the junior college baseball team had been in a traffic accident. And as they had brought him to the hospital, it was determined that he did not have much longer to live. And they were able to keep him alive so his family could get there. But that was all they were going to be able to do. And they were waiting for the family to arrive. So basically they would take off life support and give them a chance to say goodbye. And so Victor filled me in on the story. And I said, "Well, Victor, why am I here?" And I said, "I mean, I don't know the family. There's a chaplain here, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, the chaplain's in with him because I just wanted someone different, someone that I knew." I'm like, "Okay." And I said, "And you're covering this story?" He said, "Well, no, I'm just here because I cover the team." And they'd call me. And so I went into the hospital room, and I was stood with the family, and I talked with the family, and I was there when they went ahead and took him off life support. As we prayed, he slipped away from this world. And as I was standing there talking with the family and watching them as they began to grieve, the chaplain slid up next to me and he said, "You were trying to ask them some questions and they wouldn't give you the answers." And I said, "No, I know." And I said, I got that." And he said, "Well, best that I can tell, this family, they don't know Jesus. And so their son is not just gone, he's gone." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I want you to do something for me." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Well, this is when I heard you were coming," because "I thought you knew you were the perfect guy to do this." And I said, "Sure, whatever." He goes, "I'm going to talk with the family if that's okay." He said, "But there's some people that you need to talk to." And I said, "Okay, who's that?" He goes, "They're in the parking lot." And I said, "Fine." And so Victor and I went downstairs. And by the time we got into the parking lot, the entire baseball team, the coaching staff, their extended family members had assembled in the parking lot. And so that night, there were about 100 people in that parking lot waiting outside that hospital room, not knowing yet that their friend, their all-star, the captain of their team, had passed away. And so as we walked into that crowd, it was determined that, you know, somebody needed to talk to them. And so that person was me. And so they pulled up a truck, kind of like we're in right now, lowered the tailgate, and I stood up in the truck and I looked out across a crowd of 100 folks waiting for something, some word. And so over the course of the next few minutes, I had the opportunity and the chance to deliver what was very tragic news, that their friend was gone. But it also opened the door for me on that night, in the wee hours of the morning, to talk about a decision that has to be made. Because we all face death. Probably won't be from a virus, but it will happen at some point in our life. And before that happens, you have to make a decision of what you're going to do with eternity. Jesus came and did everything that he could do to extend to you an invitation that you might have life and have it abundant. The decision that you have to make is the same one I explained to those folks that night gathered around the truck. You have to make the decision to believe. Believe he is who he said that he is. Believe that he did what he did. Believe that he went to a cross, was buried in a tomb, and then came back from the dead, paying a price for your sins. And you have to trust that what he did is big enough and good enough. You have to decide that that's the path that will get you where you need to go for eternity. And to be honest with you, most of us come to Jesus not because we have this great desire for adventure. Most of us come to Jesus because we just have this terrifying, gnawing, sleep-losing fear of going to hell. And there's only one way that I know that that can't happen. The only thing that will keep you out of hell is making that decision to believe, trust, and then follow Jesus. So here we are on Easter Sunday morning. And we've been talking about good news, ta-da, big moments. But it does come down to a choice. What are you going to do with Jesus? Do you believe? Do you trust? And will you follow? And so if you would, bow your heads for just a moment. Your car is where you're at. We have folks that are streaming with us from all over the place, and they're now listening. You go ahead and bow your heads and hearts as well, too. And let me just ask you very simply, if this were the last day that you were to get, and it all comes to an end today, do you know for sure where you would end up? There are books that are out there that have been written to try to describe what heaven is like, and they've all been written by folks that have great intentions. But let's move past the intentions. The only book that you need to worry about when it comes to figuring out what heaven is like is the book that tells you how to get there and what to expect once you're there, and that's the Bible. And when you look at the scripture, you discover that Jesus himself said this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's not one of many ways. He's not one of a plethora of ways. He is the way. There's some folks out there that don't like that because they want to believe that there's many ways to get there. That makes no sense. And Jesus didn't leave any gray area. He is the way. And you have to decide if that's the way that you want to go. And so as we pray, we're going to pray for a couple of things. But we're going to begin by praying for you in what is a moment to make a choice. Heavenly Father, this day we celebrate Easter and we're excited about that. We're excited about knowing that we were loved, knowing that you did what you did. But Heavenly Father, we come to a moment where we have to decide. Are we just kicking the tires and flirting with this thing called faith? Or have we made the decision to believe, trust, and follow? And Lord, for anybody this morning who wants to make that choice, it begins with a prayer of the heart. The words aren't magical, but they need to be real. And just says, "Jesus, I love you. And I have messed up. I'm a sinner. Yet you paid the price for those sins so that I could have forgiveness and have life. And so today I want to accept that. I want to make the choice to not just believe that you did it, but I want to trust you and I want to follow you." And anyone who just prayed that prayer, anybody who has made that decision, the invitation that we have is simply let us know that. Send us an email. Give us a shout. Let us know that that's the decision that you made so we can get some things in your hands that will help you follow up with that decision and help encourage you and show you what you've done and what it means and how that's going to just change your life in amazing ways. But then, Heavenly Father, there are many of us here this morning that came out on this Sunday morning because we recognize the importance of this day. And so, Lord, my prayer for us this day is that we would take these moments. And even though it's a strange time in our culture, we would allow your love to cut through it. That your peace would come bursting through it. That your presence would be so real to us. And that we would hang on every promise so that we might fulfill the purpose that we were created to fulfill. Loving you changes everything. Easter changes everything. As God, this day we thank you for that. Help us to be the people that you created us to be, the very best version of ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now unto him who is able to keep
Easter. Well, we're done. You figure out how to get out of here. we planned this out, and I would love to be able to tell you that it's going to go real smooth. But we're actually we're going to dismiss you from the back. Trust us, we'll get you out better that way, and some things will open up, and you'll be able to get out. As you move through this week, if you haven't done so yet, make sure that you're checking us out online at the church website, or you're spending time on the Facebook page or on the YouTube channel. We've got stuff that we're releasing every day on the church at 434 in Motion. And we're trying our best to kind of stay connected with you. If there's anything you need, call us, email us, let us know what that need is. If you become aware of a need, we will certainly do our best to help make that happen and take care of that for you. Some of you ask about giving today. This is a 6-foot bucket that somebody needs to take to the exit if you want to stop and get that this morning on the way out. So we'll get down there with that. But also, you guys have been so great to give, and you're faithful online to do that. And so continue to do that as well. And look for that email list. If you're not on it, sign up for it. Let us know that you want to get those emails, and we'll be happy to get those emails to you. They go out every day. Happy Easter. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Thanks for driving in and spending some time with us. Y'all drive carefully. Have a great afternoon. Be safe. And remember, God loves you. We love you, too. And it will be nice one day to see you not behind the windshield of your car. So that day is coming soon, we know. God bless.